So we start to get better results, and those better results become the motivation to continue to do the emotional labor that change and innovation always requires of us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. And today I'm joined by Phil Johnson. Now, Phil is a Master of Business Leadership Executive Coach, which is a pretty cool title. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that and what that means, but they're sort of grouped all over the world: US, Canada, Japan, Germany, Bosnia, Africa, Australia. So, to name but a few. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence, and this is EQ rather than IQ. And we've all heard of IQ, but EQ, I think, and I'm in agreement here, is considerably more important. But Phil, over to you. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. How emotional quotient, is that the EQ? Is that what it stands for?
Sure. That's one of the terms that goes by. Thanks, Doug. I'm glad we're having this conversation, and it's great to be on your show.
Thank you.
I'm 68. I've been on this path for 54 years. I've been an executive coach all over the world for the last 21 years. And for the last 4 or 5 months, I've been focusing on guesting on podcasts such as your own to talk about the value and importance of emotional intelligence. And I want to start out by making a promise and a guarantee, and I don't make it lightly. I guarantee that the development of your emotional intelligence will lead to career and personal success, revenue growth, higher levels of engagement, inspirational leadership, trustability. And these are all things that I've been proving all over the world. In the last 21 years, I've worked with people running multi-billion dollar companies with thousands of employees and Harvard MBAs and PhDs. And I've been a faculty advisor to organizational development and doctoral students. See, people don't know, they really don't understand the value and importance of emotional intelligence. And it's in large part because our educational system has failed us dramatically. Our employment system has failed us dramatically. We are experiencing exponential change, and we've got a 500 million year old brain that doesn't like change. We really are terrible at embracing change. And there's three primary reasons for that. But I want your listeners to know that in this century, some scientists estimate that we're going to experience the equivalent of roughly 20,000 years worth of change. So change is increasing at an exponential rate. We are all being ripped out of our comfort zones in every way, whether we like it or not. We don't. And that's going to create unimaginable levels of drama, chaos, and conflict. And the only shot we've got at surviving this century as a species is the development of our emotional intelligence. So back to my guarantee. I've generated over $1.5 billion in revenue in helping organizations develop their emotional intelligence. Works like hell. It's harder than hell to do. It's like Navy SEAL training through emotions, but it dramatically multiplies the effectiveness of our intellectual intelligence. And it's a critical piece of our development that we should have been getting from birth, but we didn't. So we need it now because of the accelerating rate of global change. We need it now more than ever. So, okay, I'll shut up in just a minute, but I want to challenge your listeners. I guarantee that the development of your emotional intelligence will make the rest of your life the best of your life. Guaranteed. So what are you waiting for?
I like that. I like where we're coming from here. I'm a chair of the board of trustees for a charity, and I had to do an exit interview. Well, the member of staff could choose one of the trustees to carry out the exit interview. And she chose me. She said, "Doug, you've got a high EQ." I was like, "Oh, okay." So it's something that is recognizable by people. And she chose me because I have a high EQ, which I found interesting. So when our paths crossed and I saw EQ in there. EQ being, you know, 400% better than IQ. I just felt that we had to, you know, delve into this a little bit more.
So first of all, that EQ being 400% greater than IQ in determining success, that's from a UC Berkeley study that was carried out over 40 years by various PhDs within the faculty. And I think it's low. I think it's dramatically low. I think the development of our emotional intelligence is far more valuable. The ROI in developing our emotional intelligence is far more than what they talk about in the study. I want to also tell you, I want to help you a little bit here. I want to tell you how you developed your emotional
intelligence. Well, I'm glad you launched in there, because that was going to be my question. It's like, right, okay, so if this thing is so amazingly useful, and from what you're saying, is tantamount to ensuring the success of the human being, the human species over the next century plus, then we need to know how we can develop it. So
I'll tell you how you developed yours and how anybody can develop theirs and how I developed mine. And then I'll tell you the three major obstacles standing in our way in developing our emotional intelligence.
This is valuable stuff, people listening.
So the way you developed your awareness of yourself and other people is in how you handled the fear of stepping outside of your comfort zone. So there are things that have happened in your life that have forced you, that have created the motivation for you to move outside of your comfort zone. And that scared the hell out of you, but your desire for better results was stronger than your fear. And doing that's what I call emotional labor. And that is the only way you can develop your emotional intelligence. So stepping outside of your comfort zone and moving through your fear, as opposed to allowing your fear to keep you stuck in your comfort zone, taught you things about yourself and other people. It gave you insights into yourself and other people that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So when I see somebody that is demonstrating above average levels of emotional intelligence, I know what it took. I don't know the specifics. I don't know the specifics of your life, but I can see the result of how you've handled the fear that's been created in you by moving outside of your comfort zone.
That's very, very interesting, because well, anybody that might have read my book we'll know that 2010, I was on the edge of financial oblivion, quite a lot in debt with a massive mortgage and ready to hand my keys back. And I wasn't about to let that happen.
Why not?
One, because my wife wouldn't have been very happy. And secondly, my late mother wouldn't have been proud of me. And I was, my whole reason for doing the stuff that I do, well, there's two reasons. What, three reasons, probably. I mean, one of them is for myself. But the first one is I always wanted my mum to be proud of me. And secondly, I want my wife, Bonnie, to be happy. And handing over the keys to our house back to the lender wouldn't have made her happy at that time. So
so let's talk about that, Doug. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. So your vision of your desired result, the love you had for your mother, the love you had for your wife, the love you have for yourself, was stronger than the gut-wrenching fear that you had to go through in moving out of your comfort zone. It scared the hell out of you, but you had a desired result that was stronger than your fear, and that kept you moving forward, even though you didn't know where the hell you were going or whether or not you would succeed. But it kept you putting one foot in front of the other. And that, my friend, is the only way someone can develop their emotional intelligence.
Okay, so it's not giving up, really.
Right. It's having an emotional connection with a desired result that's stronger than the fear that gets generated in us when we leave our comfort zone. You had so much love for your mother, so much respect for your mother, so much love for your wife that it motivated you to move out of your comfort zone and in the direction you did. There's only two sources of motivation that will cause us to be willing to do the emotional labor of leaving our comfort zone. One is pain. The other one is passion. And hardly anybody's connected with their passion. So for the most part, people that are motivated, the small percentage of people that are motivated to step outside of their comfort zone are usually motivated by pain. They have an urgent desire for better results than they're currently getting, and they're in a lot of pain. So that creates the motivation to step outside of their comfort zone and move through the fear that that creates in them. And that, my friend, is the only way we can develop our emotional intelligence. But if we're willing to do that work, if we're willing to do that emotional labor, I guarantee 100 on my life, I guarantee that it will produce, it will make the rest of your life the best of your life, and it will produce exponential results over the current results you're getting. It will give you insights into yourself and other people that will blow your socks off.
I'm going all goosebumply here because, you know, I can, that was some time ago, and I can sense a bit of what you're suggesting. I'm doing my podcast and we're 80 episodes plus in, and, you know, I'm investing the money to get the production out there in the world, and there's no monetization on it presently. I have to say presently, folks, just because, you know, there's got to come a time, you know, where this creates something. And I've written my books, and it's to help. It's just to get the lessons that I've learned, to get them out there to share, so that, you know, you can accelerate the process or avoid some of the pain. But it sounds like, actually, Phil, that you've got to experience the pain to get.
Unfortunately, Doug, you do, because, well, let me explain the barriers we have to change and why the pain is important.
Please do.
And by the way, I was born with dyslexia. And if I hadn't had when I was born, there was no such thing as dyslexia or ADD or ADHD. I was labeled a slow learner, and I failed grade 3 and I failed grade 5. So life in my early years was a horror show. But the death of my mother gave me the motivation to move outside of my comfort zone at the age of 14, and I've been on this path ever since.
I did the maths when we were talking, and it's like, right, you've been on this path. Well, so it started when you were 14.
It's January of 1968.
Yeah, so it started when you were 14.
My mother died on December 3rd of 1967, breast cancer. I decided I wanted to do this work in January of 1968, and I've been on this path ever since. I changed the trajectory of my life dramatically. I became a super overachiever, went on and got a BCom, mostly an MBA, studied electrical engineering, spent 20 years in the semiconductor industry, became a corporate executive, was traveling over 60,000 miles a year, yada, 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 yada. But I reached a point where I'd forgotten why I was doing what I was doing. And that's when I left corporate America and I began what I now refer to as the Master of Business Leadership Coaching Program to share like you and give back. And that's what I've been doing for the last 21 years. So here are the three major barriers to change, any change, and to developing our emotional intelligence. So two of them are biological and one of them is sociological. Let me explain. Whenever we take an action that causes us to move outside of our comfort zone, there's a part of our old lizard brain called the amygdala that's been trying to keep us safe and alive for the last 500 million years. And it does that by secreting a hormone into our bloodstream called cortisol. It causes the executive center of our brain, our prefrontal cortex, to shut off. And we go into what psychologists refer to as an amygdala hijack. We go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. Some people lash out. Some people run away. Some people freeze like a deer in the headlights. And when we do that in conflict situations, people often die. And when we do it in business or personal situations, relationships die. We burn trust. So if you think of your amygdala, as an analogy, if you think of your amygdala as a very frightened four-year-old child, the development of our emotional intelligence acts like a big brother or a big sister to quiet our amygdala response down and better enable us to feel the fear that change and innovation always creates in us and move through it towards the vision of our desired results, as opposed to allowing that fear to control us, to keep us stuck in our comfort zone. Okay, so that's biological sources of resistance, number one. The second is our existing habits. Once we develop a habit, it's there forever. It's a neural network pathway in our brain that we develop through our actions. And although we can develop new habits, better habits at any age, it's called brain plasticity or neurogenesis. Those new habits will always be weaker than our old habits. So there's always going to be an internal battle between our old habits and new habits for dominance.
Wow.
By the way, just a little side note here. We're only conscious about 3 to 5% of the time. The rest of the time, we're relying on our habits to determine our behavior and our results. So anything we practice long enough transfers from being a conscious activity to an unconscious habit. And that process is called automaticity. That's why you don't have to think about how to tie your shoes anymore or how to drive a car. It's gone from being something you had to really focus on consciously to an unconscious habit. That's what mastery is. It's when you become unconsciously competent at something, you've mastered it. Okay. So that's the second biological source of resistance we have to change. The third source of resistance to change is sociological, meaning the people around us don't want us to change. Because if we change and we start to get better results, then maybe they're going to have to change. And that scares the hell out of them. So the best way to ensure they don't have to change is to make sure we fail. So they could say, look, I told you, now shut up, keep your head down and come back into the herd like the rest of us. And most of that is happening unconsciously. But even though it's happening unconsciously, it's happening to all of us all the time. So even though all of your listeners want better results than they're currently getting, if they're telling the truth, hardly anybody is in enough pain to do the emotional labor, that the development of their emotional intelligence that will guarantee their success requires. So what they do instead of trying to change themselves, they try and use position-based power to change everybody else. They try and use position-based power to control and manipulate others to get them to change because they're unwilling to change. And that's been going on for thousands of years.
So it's a bit of a habit in itself.
Oh, yeah. It's an unconscious habit, but it's pervasive everywhere in the world. It's happening constantly, all the time, everywhere in the world. That's why we live in the world we do. So those are the three things. Those are the sources of resistance to change. But as you've experienced in your life, and as I've experienced in my life, the willingness to do the emotional labor that develops our emotional intelligence will have an exponential impact, positive impact on our results.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I hope you don't mind me just spending a few moments to tell you about my new book. I'm very excited. It's called Think Simple, Win Big: How to Build the Business of Your Dreams with a Few Simple Goals. And it's a rewrite of my original book, Goals Do Come True. And it's especially available for entrepreneurs, either new entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who want to get the fundamentals right with their business. So if you are interested in getting your hands on a copy, go to my website, www.dougbennett.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
Now that's quite important, because I'm sat here thinking, right, okay, I've managed to do the things that I've done, you know, turn my life around, things are good, sold my business for a big chunk of money, life is good, you know, I've got a couple of Harley Davidsons and can go out when I want, I'm doing this for love, you know, to help people, but I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, you know, goal setting it's relatively straightforward. You know, you just write down a few goals and start thinking about them. Okay. And the law of attraction will help. It will, you know, sort of pull things into your periphery, into your thought processes that will help you get to the goals. But from what you're saying, actually, it's a lot tougher than that.
That's a hell of a lot to
effort. Which means that everything that I've been saying for the last 82 episodes it's been knocked in.
I've been wrong,
people.
You've been leading your listener down the wrong path because you didn't know what you didn't know.
And
we're changing that today.
Okay.
Setting goals is an intellectual process. Okay. You think about it, right? That's an intellectual process. Reading books is an intellectual process. You'll do nothing to develop your emotional intelligence. Zero.
Okay.
The only way you've been able to increase your awareness and develop your emotional intelligence is by changing your actions that have moved you outside of your comfort zone and going through the terror, the emotional labor that required. That's what developed your emotional intelligence, not reading the damn books or having the conversations or, I don't know, whatever else. So those are intellectual processes, right? You're thinking, that's intellect. Reading, that's intellect. Having a conversation, that's mainly intellect.
Tell me, Phil, tell me. Look, you're not going to crush all my dreams here, right? Okay. Phil, we've got to start there, right? At least we've got to start with the intellectual stuff before we develop the emotional stuff. Please say that.
You don't.
Oh, man alive. Okay.
I'm sorry. I want to help get us on a path that's actually going to enable us to succeed, to survive. We're not playing around. I mean, I'm sorry, but take a look out the window. Whatever we've been doing isn't working. We need to change our trajectory dramatically in the next decade or two for our survival. So we've got to get real. Yep.
Okay. There's so many people out there don't have stuff that's that big.
Yep.
That they need to get outside of their comfort zone.
Until they develop an emotional connection, like you did, like I did, with a desired result that is strong enough to move them out of their comfort zone, they are not going to change.
Okay.
So the first step is they have to connect with something that's so important to them, that's so fundamental to who they are, that it creates the motivation, provides the fuel for the journey to develop their emotional intelligence.
And how long a journey is it?
Lifetime.
It's a lifetime, right. Okay, so we're not getting...
You never get there. Let me give you a financial analogy of the journey. That's a great question, by the way. I love our conversation. Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
It's a pleasure.
Let's compare. Let's think of intellectual intelligence. Let's compare intellectual intelligence and emotional intelligence this way. Think of intellectual intelligence as somebody giving you $10,000 a day for 31 days. Okay. At the end of 31 days, you get $10,000 a day. And at the end of 31 days, you've got $310,000. Okay. So let's think of the development of our emotional intelligence as getting a penny that doubles in value every day for 31 days. Day one, you've got a penny. Day two, you've got 2 pennies. Day three, you've got 4 pennies. Day 31, you've got $10.7 million. By the way, day 40, you've got over $5 billion. Day 50, you've got over $5 trillion. So it doesn't take any more effort to go from day 30 to day 31 than it did to go from day one to day two. But it's a journey. So in the beginning of the journey, it looks like you're doing a lot of work for little. And you are, because you don't know what you don't know. But if you continue on, the results keep getting better and better and better and better and better with the same amount of effort. People I coach, there are people organizations I've been working with for over 13 years, because the ROI in doing this work continues to increase exponentially. The most difficult part is in the very beginning, because it looks like you're doing a lot of work for little, and you are. So in the beginning, you need to be willing to take the leap of faith that the work requires. And the only reason you would be willing to do that is because you're either in a hell of a lot of pain or you have some passion for something that's pulling you forward out of your comfort zone to achieve that vision, to achieve that dream.
I can see that.
Okay. Without that, you're dead in the water. You will not be willing to do the emotional labor that the development of your emotional intelligence requires until and unless you're either in a lot of pain or you're kind of this unpassionate result that creates the motivation for the journey required.
Absolutely. I'm seeing this totally now. I'm seeing it because, you know, you're right, which is going back. And we can use the analogy of the podcast. It's like, you know, we're 80 episodes in and we're gradually increasing the numbers. And, you know, there's sometimes I'm thinking, well, is this really making a difference? And then it's like, well, you know, it's going to make a difference to one person along the way. And if it does that, that's good enough.
That's the story we tell ourselves.
Challenge me. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. I'm loving this.
That's the story. Hey, shit, if I could just save one person.
Yeah. That's the story we tell ourselves. It's not good enough, right?
It's not. We're almost out of time. Time is not our friend. We're at a tipping point as a species in our development. There isn't a single other species on the planet that wouldn't be better off if humanity didn't exist. We're systematically destroying the planet and we're destroying ourselves. We killed more people in the 20th century than in all of recorded human history. And we're doing pretty good at this century as well. We're dealing with things like CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology, climate change, AI, other pandemics, that we do not have the wisdom, we do not have the emotional intelligence to survive. Mark Twain once said a long time ago, if the only way mankind can learn is through experience, I see no hope for mankind. And what he was really saying was that if the only way we can learn is by putting our hand on the stove, we're making the assumption that we're going to be around to learn from it. And with a lot of the things we're dealing with today, you don't get a do-over. Mm-hmm. You got to get it right the first time. You can't say, oh, I screwed up on that, so we'll be better next time.
Yeah.
We're destroying the planet. We've got maybe 7 to 10 years to have any chance of slowing the devastating effects that future generations are going to feel. And because we're not going to feel it in the next 30 or 40 years in a huge way, we just say, screw it. We'll leave it for the next guy. They'll figure it out. There's so much kids today. There's so much depression and suicide in grade school, in high school, because they know their future's screwed. And it's the adults that are doing it. They don't even get a vote. And they know the world they're heading into is going to be horrendous. So it's up to us now to change our trajectory, to beginning to change humanity's trajectory, to give future generations a shot. So we don't have the luxury anymore of one person at a time, because that's not going to do it. That's not going to save us. We need revolutionary, not evolutionary change in us as individuals and organizations. The current level of employee engagement worldwide, according to Gallup, is about 13%. So that organizations are toxic work environments where people don't feel safe to risk change, to step outside of their comfort zone. Low levels of employee engagement is costing the U.S. economy alone over $1 trillion a year. And Gallup is almost a one-to-one correlation between the level of employee engagement and level of customer engagement. So if your employees don't feel engaged, if they don't feel safe, if they don't trust you, guess what? Neither do your customers. So, Doug, I'm sorry to say that saving one person
not good enough.
May make you sleep better at night, but it's not going to save the planet.
So I've got to pull my thumb out of my ass and get on it, along with everybody else.
We all do. We all do, Doug. We all do. We all have to put a firecracker up our ass and start doing the very difficult emotional labor that our survival depends upon. And that's not fluffy news. That's not, you know, that's not having a lollipop. But unfortunately, that's where we are. We're the generation. We're the leaders we've been waiting for. We can't keep pushing it down the road. We have to change our trajectory. We have to begin the change of our trajectory right now, today, not next week. We have to begin that penny doubling journey right now. And we're going to have to work like hell to change our trajectory for our survival and the survival of future generations. And if that scares your listeners, I don't give a rat's ass. I'd much rather I scare your listeners
to think of,
than destroy
us. To think about doing something. That's what we've got to do. We've got to.
You know what? We know it. We know it.
I mean, it's
I'm not telling. I'm not telling people anything we don't already know. We're just kind of, well, you know, it's just, let's just pretend something magical is going to happen. Somebody's going to come up with something. You know, technology will take care of us. Cross our fingers.
The human race is arrogant enough to think that the Earth gives a rat's ass about us. Yep. It's like we've been here for a nanosecond in the life of the Earth. It will carry on revolving around the sun long after we're gone. It's just how long we're going to be here doing what we're being.
In relative terms, as a species, humanity has, compared to the evolution of the universe, the Earth, we've been here for about a half of a second. And in a half of a second, we've been able to destroy the planet. In a half of a second, humanity has been able to destroy the planet. We're the virus on the planet.
There's a good chance that nature will throw these pandemic things in to tidy up a little bit along the way.
It's doing it right now.
Yes,
nature will survive. You know, if we're headed into another ice age or whatever, you know, climate change is going to create all of the things we hear about every day. We can't stop that. That's already written in stone, but we can hopefully dampen the effect for future generations if we change our trajectory
today.
And people are worried about getting into elected positions, and Jesus, we're such cowards. We're such cowards. We're so unwilling to do the emotional labor that you've done in your life, that I've done in my life, that every truly inspirational leader has done in their life. We have to care more about ourselves and each other than we do. We have to stop allowing our fear to control our actions.
And we've got to step up to the plate, take some responsibility, take some pain, a lot of pain, to create some emotional.
See, the good thing about the pain is that as our results start to get better, we focus less on the emotional labor required to get those results and more on the guarantee of our better results. See, in the beginning, all we had was the pain, right? In the beginning, when you decided not to put your keys on the table, all you had was the pain. But as you started to change your trajectory and started to get better results, it was less pain. Right?
Absolutely.
So we got to be willing to get through that initial change, that initial pain that changing innovation always creates in us. So we start to get better results, and those better results become the motivation to continue to do the emotional labor that changing innovation always requires of us. Look at a guy like Branson. Mm-hmm. He was born with dyslexia as well. They welcome the pain. They welcome the emotional labor because they know what's on the other side of that is good stuff. And that's what all truly inspirational leaders have in common. That's what all truly emotionally intelligent people have in common. The emotional labor is the price of admission to better results. The emotional labor is the price of admission to develop our emotional intelligence, to raise our level of consciousness, and to become more inspirational leaders. It's the price of admission, and we haven't been willing to pay that price.
Phil, it's been inspirational. You've rocked a few things in my thought process. Hopefully, we've rocked a few things in the listeners. And I hope, and we cross our fingers there, that you're going to have a listen to this. You're going to take some stock, going to have a look at your life, look at whether you're going to leave it to the inspirational people around you to do stuff, or whether you could maybe pull your thumb out of your ass and get on it yourself. take some pain, get some emotional pain, get excited, get passionate about something. Just get into that habit of getting passionate about something. And then, well, who knows? Phil, it's been a challenge. It's been inspirational. It's been fun. It's been, well, dare I say it, you know, I'm 80 episodes in of helping one person at a time. And now I know that I've got to go out there in the world and, well, I've just got to work a lot harder to make a lot more difference. And I want to thank you for joining me. I want to thank you for sharing that message. We're going to make sure that your Linktree info is in the show notes so people can get in touch with you. There's inspiration there, folks. I know it sounded a little bit doom and gloom, but actually, sometimes we've got to embrace that honesty to be able to make a difference. Phil Johnson, thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify. I'd love to hear about your goals. You can share them with me at dougbennett.co.uk.